Welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show this morning. The Michelle and Junie Show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company in Berry Hill, Nashville's premier breakfast and brunch spot. You can find Junie and I there probably way too often. And Superbook Sports, voted the number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios today on this beautiful Saturday morning. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined by my co-host, Junie Riddle. We got Jared Cassidy on the ones and twos. Happy Saturday, guys. How are we feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great. I feel like we're both really excited because we have some traveling plans.
Oh, we do.
That we're going to be getting into. One of us is going to be going a little bit further than the other, but both going on the road to watch some of our favorite teams play this weekend. So super exciting. We're going to both experience some great atmospheres for football.
So Junie is a diehard Steelers fan, and he will be traveling to Philadelphia to see his team face the undefeated Eagles. And we all know about the Philly sports fans. And I will be traveling to Knoxville, and I'm a Kentucky fan. And obviously Tennessee is undefeated. So pray for Junie and I. And also, if you're part of one of those fan bases, be kind to us.
No, I'm totally worried about that. I've been doing a lot of research and videos, and some of these the fans, I've heard about beers being thrown and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to try and, like, keep my presence maybe at a little bit of a minimum being a guest in Philadelphia. Plus, weird fact that I found out, Michelle, the Steelers haven't won in Philadelphia since 1965.
Wow.
It's weird stat. And they haven't scored a touchdown there in almost 30 years.
That's insane.
It's kind of crazy. So,
well, especially the teams they've had.
Yeah, like even their last Super Bowl team lost in Philadelphia, didn't score a touchdown that season. So, I'm expecting the worst. I'm expecting to get hurt, but you know, it's my first time in Philadelphia, so I'm super excited to go.
And Jared, how are we feeling this morning? You and I are going head to head today as Kentucky heads into Neyland Stadium.
Oh, yeah, a little border state rivalry football game. Can't ask for anything better. A little jealous that y'all are going to head up there, but hey, somebody's got to work the one and twos here, so I'll be here today and tomorrow.
Exactly. Jared will be holding down the fort. Also, if you have any suggestions for me as somebody who is going to Neyland Stadium for the first ever time, very excited just to see the entire atmosphere, text us, call us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's 615-737-1025. Guys, we have got a packed show today, a big sports weekend here in the state of Tennessee. So coming up at 9:15, we're going to be joined by Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360. Also, you can be heard on 94.9 The Fan. That is our sister station, and we're going to be talking a lot of Tennessee, Kentucky. We're going to be talking a lot of Tennessee Titans and the Texans. And if you listen every Saturday morning, you know that we like to start our morning with the morning brew served up by the Nashville Jam Company. We go through all the headlines, everything that is happening in the sports world, and anything that you need to know. First off, yes, this happened last week, but this is the first time we've got to touch on it. Matt Ryan. He is not the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Looks like the Tennessee Titans officially broke the Colts, Junie.
I think Chris Ballard and Frank Reich's days are numbered, because you can't go through this many quarterbacks and try to shift things up this much and expect a different result. You know, I really thought that this Colts offensive line was going to be a lot better this year, and I think due to some injury and, you know, honestly, some disappointment play from guys like Quentin Nelson, it's been rough. But when you're Matt Ryan and you're a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback and you have 9 interceptions within the first 7 games of the season, it's just not going to cut it. They have a playmaking quarterback, Sam Ehlinger, out of Texas. He's mobile. He can throw on the run. He's younger. He's exciting. I think the Colts are really going to start seeing what they have in this kid, and then base that off what they're going to do in the draft with a heavy quarterback class coming in 2023.
Well, and Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, has not been shy to say that you need to beat the Tennessee Titans. He's been very vocal on social media, and there was a video that essentially went kind of viral on Twitter of him just walking to his golf cart after the game, not saying anything. And then Frank Reich spoke to the media, announced that Matt Ryan was hurt, but he was going to be sat anyway. And, I mean, this is crazy. They're paying Sam Ehlinger about $900,000. And then if Matt Ryan doesn't take one snap next year, they still have to pay him $18 million.
And that's a pay cut, too, from what he was supposed to be making. So, yeah, the Colts are in a little bit of a hole right now. I don't see how they kind of get out of this within a year. This is going to really hold them back for the next couple seasons, which, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, all those years of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and just getting dominated every single time, and even in the games where you were close, getting your heart broken, it has to feel so sweet to finally have this Colts team's number and sweep them in the series. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm surprised. I picked the Colts to win the division in the preseason just based off of what they had. I felt like Matt Ryan would have been a lot better in this system, but obviously a lot of things have been disappointing. You know, I had mentioned to you earlier when they went out and got him via trade that they need to go out and get another receiver, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And I know Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati, the rookie, has been playing pretty well, but you know, you can't rely on a rookie to be your, you know, solidified number two in this kind of offense. You needed like a veteran to go out and get, and they just flat out didn't. The offensive line is disappointment, and then there's just been injuries all over that defense to where they can't become a real cohesive unit. So very disappointing for the Colts, but it'll be interesting seeing what they do going forward.
Well, and on top of that, having Jonathan Taylor in his prime, I know that he has been fighting through some injuries this year, but only getting 10 touches in some games. I mean,
5.8 yards a carry, and they didn't give him more than 10 attempts. That was baffling to me. The Titans' run defense has kind of been the weakness of this defense, and they just flat out didn't take advantage of it. And they put the ball in Matt Ryan's hands, and maybe it was one of those do or die. Like, they knew coming in, if he didn't perform, that they were going to make that move. So they really wanted to see, but I think ultimately their lack of faith in that run game is what cost them the game against the Titans.
Well, and what I said on our show last week and why I believed that the Tennessee Titans would win this game is because they have a better quarterback and they have a better coach and they have consistency here in Tennessee. But speaking of Ryan Tannehill, he got injured in the last game, was able to fight through. We saw Malik Willis take one snap at the quarterback position. Quick handoff. But we still don't know if Ryan Tannehill will play in Houston this Sunday. He was ruled as questionable and was limited during practice this week. But, you know, from the open portion of what the media could see, I don't really know what you classify as limited, because he kind of was just standing there and they said he was taking mental reps, which, don't get me wrong, it's great to be out there. He's part of this offense and I'm sure that taking mental reps helps. But it definitely is concerning. If you're a Titans fan, you have to be happy that you're playing the Texans this week and you're not playing, you know, a better team point blank. But, I mean, the Texans always seem to show out against Tennessee, because I remember last year they had to win the game in Houston to solidify the number one seed, and that was a close one. I mean, Davis Mills.
The way the Jaguars have always given the Colts fits is kind of the way the Texans have given the Titans fits. You know, the Texans are a hard out. They've only lost two games this season by double digits, and those were both AFC West opponents against the Raiders and Chargers, and that's back when, you know, the Chargers were a little bit more healthy. But, you know, you look at what they've done against interdivision opponents. I mean, they tied with the Colts. They probably should have won that game. And then they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was really a shock to us all, because at that point in time, the Jags were really hot. So this is not going to be an easy out for the Titans, and I just don't think the way that this team is constructed that they're going to have a lot of easy outs no matter who they play. But, you know, this Texans team is really chippy. You know, Lovie Smith at the helm, you know, Ryan has told us many of times about how Lovie Smith, you know, took the most out of that Bears defense back when he was the head coach there. He's doing the same thing in Houston with not a lot of talent. They have a pretty talented secondary, but even still, they're playing at a higher level than expected going into this season.
Switching over to the other football team here in Tennessee, the Tennessee Volunteers will host Kentucky for a night game tonight. Volunteers are undefeated. Kentucky's 4-2, and you know, it's going to be a very interesting game because the two teams are completely opposite when you look at the way they decide to play football. But one of the big questions heading into this week was, Will we see Cedric Tillman? And Cedric Tillman, I mean, this kind of was awesome. He essentially announced that he was coming back and would be playing today via an NIL deal on social media, which that just kind of shows, you know, the difference between this sports era and before, right? College athletics and college sports, it's always so hush-hush, whereas in the NFL, you know, you need to report, okay, this player is questionable, they didn't practice, are they playing, are they inactive? Whereas college, you don't really have to tell anybody anything, and they traditionally don't. And here is Cedric Tillman like, hey, here's my NIL deal, and I will be playing tonight.
Well, I mean, you look how Brew McCoy and Jalin Hyatt have played since he's been out of the lineup. You know, having this guy back and having three solidified receivers that have, you know, gotten a lot of good work in the SEC, this is going to be tough cooking for Kentucky
today with
him coming back, because it's just like, who are you going to take out? Like, who are you going to leave open? Who are you going to double team? Because all of these guys, I mean, we've seen them all have breakout games. You know, Brew McCoy in the beginning seems like he was going to be the number one, but then we saw Jalin Hyatt just run loose against Alabama. So
Five touchdowns,
over 200 yards against Nick Saban. I mean, this kid alone could potentially get drafted because of that performance against Nick
Saban. Pretty good.
Yeah, and considering Jalin Hyatt had two touchdowns in two seasons heading into this season, and then you go against one of the best teams in the country and you score five touchdowns, absolutely incredible. Junie, you said it. He put his name on the map for some NFL teams and has definitely turned heads towards this Tennessee team. It'll be interesting, and we will, you know, dive deeper into this matchup coming up at 9:30. But on the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360 and on 94.9 The Fan. We're going to talk all things Tennessee Titans versus the Houston Texans coming up on Sunday. Will Ryan Tannehill play? And does this Kentucky team have a shot to make it a game with Tennessee tonight? You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Konecznik with Junie Riddle, Jared Cassie on the ones and twos. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this beautiful Saturday morning. And if you want to watch us streaming, you can watch us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We go to our phone line now and welcome in Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360, also on 94.9 The Fan. Jonathan, happy Saturday morning. How are we feeling this morning?
Like $1 million, Michelle. Good morning, Junie. What's up, man? Good to see you. And it's another great game day. Here we go.
It's another great game day because we know you are going to be rooting for Kentucky like no other tonight.
You know, actually I'm not, I'm not a massive Tennessee fan either, but I will admit I do this thing on Outkick, double the spread. I think Tennessee wins big tonight. I'm sorry, Michelle, but this is not one of those teams that looks ahead to the next opponent. I'm not seeing it. And, you know, I also don't see Kentucky scoring 30 points. So Will Levis has got to show me something, because I think the Vols are pretty good at stopping the run.
And I completely agree, but as a fan, putting my fan hat on really quick, I am going to just hope and pray that it is a good game in Neyland tonight, for my mental health, of course.
Yes.
But switching to the Tennessee Titans, obviously they're heading to Houston to face the Texans this Sunday. Point blank, do you think that Ryan Tannehill will play today? Sorry, Sunday.
I think it's really 50-50. He's making the trip. He's going to warm up. It's a game time decision. I think that's how they feel about it. It was odd because, you know, he leaves Nissan Stadium in a boot,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, is on Wednesday not in the boot and walks out and does his normal press conference routine and goes out to practice and was limited. He was out there Thursday standing on the field. I mean, I do think they want him to play. I think the downside to it is they don't want him to be Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Not in terms of turning the football over, but in terms of getting hits, because Tannehill's at least mobile. Matt Ryan's not. And the Titans' offensive line is not good for immobile quarterbacks. I mean, Tannehill's already getting hit quite a bit. Not taking a ton of sacks, but he has recently, like against Washington, took five. And I think if you're looking for mobility, they'll turn to other options in this game against the Texans. But this is a run-based offense. This is perfect based up against the Houston Texans. But these games are always a little weird, mm-hmm. a little closer for comfort. And many times the Texans win this game no matter how bad they are and how good the Titans are perceived to be. So I mean, they need Tannehill, not because of all the passing game's just amazing, because the passing game with him is not that good this year, but he keeps them out of the wrong play. Malik Willis isn't going to do that necessarily. I'm not saying he can't do that, but Tannehill, for the most part, gets the play and then keeps them out of the bad play. And that's what they have to avoid in this game if they want to win. So I do think they want him to play if possible. I don't think they'll really know, though, until, you know, late tonight, early tomorrow.
Do you think that Malik Willis could be successful if he is the starter and that Tennessee could get the win?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they stay ahead of the chains and we don't see some, you know, stupid bleep, as Vrabel would say, that keeps them from winning games, bad penalties, delay of game, self-inflicted wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a toss-up on that game to game and officiating crew to officiating crew, quite frankly. So, the Titans' defense will keep them in this game. The Titans' defense can win them this game. The Titans' offense, from their perspective, they've got to have Derrick Henry be the baddest man in the NFL. And to me, Josh Jacobs was just that last week against this Texans defense. So I think that's certainly possible. And I do think they have some things in for Malik Willis that can work. It will be a very limited play sheet for him in the passing game versus what you can open up with Tannehill, regardless of them having the least impressive wide receiving core in the NFL. So, I think they can win with Malik Willis. I think they can win this game with Logan Woodside, but it's just a different path to victory if you don't have Tannehill, and they also need him for Kansas City. So buckle up. I mean, if he plays, it's still a very limited playbook because I don't think he's booting. I don't think he's rolling out of the pocket all that much.
Hutton, you are on the record of saying that Vegas always knows something. And this line to start the week was really
my
odd.
My bank account is on the record for saying that.
I think all of ours is.
Yeah, I think this season in the NFL, just in general, has been so unexpected. We've seen a lot of underdogs just take games that no one saw coming. And we saw this line start at about -1 for the Titans on the road. It has now moved to -3, and it seems like all the money's going towards the Titans, which scares me. Because I feel like Vegas knows something. Do you think this Tannehill injury can kind of put the Titans on upset alert against this Texans team, which is known for keeping it close, especially against division rivals?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a close game as we go to the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what the Texans do. And, you know, the Titans give up a ton of points in the fourth quarter and the second half. And the Texans can't score in the fourth quarter. It's a very weird dynamic with this stats-wise because – Damian Pierce is their offense right now, and he's going for his fifth straight game of at least 100 yards from scrimmage. That's we've seen some other guys do four straight. He's got a chance to do it five times in a row now, and he leads the rookies in the backfield with yards per game rushing. The Titans' four-game winning streak, it's not like – so they've got a much more impressive record than the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans' four-game winning streak have come by a total of 22 points. And Vegas sees that, and they're also combining that with the bum ankle of Tannehill and the worst wide receiving core in the NFL, and they're thinking this game's going to be close. The Texans, they have overachieved with a minimum, very young roster in the first three quarters of every game. They have a +10 differential in the first three quarters this season on the scoreboard. They're 31st in the league, though, -41 in the fourth quarter. They can't finish, and the Titans finish games. Because of that, that's why Vegas is saying they're winning, you know, by three and a half, whatever it is. And I'm not surprised it opened up. I was earlier in the week. I'm not surprised thinking about it now because they don't really know which quarterback's going, and they know the Texans keep things close late, and they have seen the history of these games. A terrible Texans team beat a 12-win Titans team last year, for instance. So, and in this season's NFL, who knows who's good?
Right now we're joined with Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360 and on 94.9 The Fan. Jonathan, we've seen what Mike Vrabel has been able to do with last year's team with so many injuries. And, you know, heading into this season, you think, okay, how can that happen again? And we have seen it. So many guys on IR, so many injuries week to week. Do you think that he could be up for Coach of the Year again this year? Or should be?
I mean, I do think the one advantage the Titans have every week is on the sideline with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they've swept the Colts 2 years in a row. I think he is far and away better than Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it last week with their defensive effort. I think they had the book on that offense last week with what they checked into. And maybe they didn't know exactly where Ryan was going with the pass, but they knew how to pressure him and which tendency he would throw to. So I do say he's in the conversation if this continues. The problem, though, Michelle, is you've got Brian Daboll, a rookie head coach, doing what he's doing with the Jets or the Giants. And then with the Jets, you have Robert Saleh, who just lost Breece Hall. They've now traded for James Robinson, and they have a chance to pick up their sixth win this week against the Patriots. And there are other examples, you know, across the league. Mike McCarthy is very interesting, too, because for all the ridicule and all the perception that Sean Payton is the next head coach, and I still feel that way, of the Dallas Cowboys, they won without Dak Prescott, and now he's back, and they're in a very competitive division. And then, oh, by the way, the Eagles are unbeaten, and Nick Sirianni has reason to point to the nameplate on the back of his jersey, too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very tight race right now. It's very close. And because Vrabel won it last year with the number one overall seed, 12 wins, and all those injuries, including their best offensive player,
yeah,
things like that have to fall into place. And it's, you know, there are certain things that the media will latch onto in December, and one of them will be one of these underdog stories, mm-hmm, coming out of nowhere. Right now it's the Giants to win that award. And Daboll is very deserving. Mm-hmm. He has the worst roster of the best teams in the NFL right now. And he has trailed as a head coach. His roster has trailed in every single game this season that they've won. They're the only team in the NFL that have been able to pull a comeback and won every game in doing so. So I look at that like right now he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Last question for you, Hutt. The trade deadline is coming up. Do you think that the Titans should be buying at the deadline? And if so, would you rather go wide receiver or offensive line going forward?
It's a great question because of two things. Number one, they're winning right now doing their style of football. They won last year playing their style of football, and they should get better on the offensive line as the year progresses, mm-hmm, even if they don't add a piece. I mean, traditionally, just more playing time together, those guys will gel and we'll see things start to click traditionally in Henry's career over the final 2 months of the season. But this is also interesting from J-Rob's perspective, just outside looking in, because this past year's draft was a mix of drafting for immediate need versus drafting for the future. Quarterback and running back, future moves at best. Mm-hmm. And they also saw Roger McCreary and Nicholas Petitfrere, guys who they needed now. And right now they have a window where they've got Tannehill making $30 million roughly. They gave a raise to Derrick Henry where they can run him into the ground and they owe him really nothing against the cap next year. He's making 14. And defensively, they are still getting after the passer. They're still playing very aggressive and keeping points off the scoreboard. And they have the best third down defense right now in the NFL. I would look to buy. This year's NFL is very mediocre, top to bottom. It's very difficult to win. The Titans win tight games in the fourth quarter. That's just what they do with Vrabel's staff. They need more help on the O-line, I believe, than they do at wide receiver. They didn't invest in wide receiver this offseason, so I don't know why he would turn the table and invest in wide receiver now. Offensive line, that's where he started to rebuild the Titans when he took over as GM. And the offensive line has not been as solid as compared to any season we've seen. from this team so far. I would look to invest there. It's very difficult, though, keep this in mind, to find a team that wants to part ways with their sixth best offensive lineman, especially if you can play left tackle, because the guys on the street right now are not nearly as athletic and a good mobile left to right than what you're going to find on some practice squads or what you're going to find on a depth chart, even if they're on the bench across the league. And there are plenty of teams that have lost offensive linemen, especially at tackle, due to injuries already this year, which means a lot of teams will be wanting to buy and not sell. And so I think it's going to be tough to find that. I understand if you can't. I wouldn't pay a massive price for a guy who's going to be here a year or two. But they do need help there, and they're another injury away from being really decimated at that position. So, therefore, I would look to add while they can, because guys on the street right now are not going to be anything worth starting. They're still starting Dennis Daly because no one else is better than him, for example. There are guys on rosters that are not playing that are better than him, but not guys that you can trade a six-round conditional pick for.
Well, and the offensive line will play a big role on Sunday. Quickly, Hutton, before we let you go, will Derrick Henry tie or break Eddie George's record for the all-time touchdowns in the Tennessee Titans organization? Will he do it?
Yes, I think he breaks it tomorrow. So he's a touchdown away from tying it. And I think King Henry becomes the king of scoring at the position for the franchise, which is pretty remarkable when you think about the consistency from Eddie George, from Chris Johnson, Earl Campbell. I mean, you can just keep going through the list of guys on that top five list. And then here's Derrick Henry doing it. So, yeah, I think he does it this week. And I think he has a big game tomorrow. Tight window game, and he will churn out the yards in the second half, like we saw last week. 17 carries, 75 yards in the second half last week. That's the first time we've really seen him get consistent. I would take Derrick Henry two or more touchdowns tomorrow against the Texans.
Well, and you'll be joined with Eddie George on Monday for the Eddie George Show from 6 to 7 at 6th and Peabody. And if he breaks it, it'll be great to get Eddie George's thoughts on all of that. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. And enjoy your weekend of football and pray for my Cats tonight.
Okay, yeah. May all the points except for that last half point be with you tonight, Michelle, as Kentucky takes on Tennessee. Really appreciate you guys having me. Enjoy the show.
Thanks. That was Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360. You can hear him Monday through Friday on 94.9 and also the Eddie George Show from 6 to 7. On the other side, we will dive deeper into this Tennessee and Kentucky matchup. And then at 9:45, we'll be making our picks for the day. You are listening to the Michelle and Juni Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
What if Kentucky wins on Saturday? Then what's coming out of your mouth?
I'll never shut up. I can just go ahead and tell you. Because the thing is, you know, in 2014, for people who are listening, Kentucky beat Louisville in the Sweet 16. And I think it broke Louisville fans. I don't think they've ever gotten over it.
It hurt, and I have not.
I don't think they have, because that was a Louisville team that was beloved. They thought they might repeat as national champions, all juniors and seniors. That Kentucky team had struggled all year. They were all freshmen. They were an 8 seed, and then Kentucky goes and beats them when Louisville was ahead the entire game, and Kentucky makes a comeback right at the end. I don't think Louisville fans ever got over it, and I think it's one of the most painful losses they ever took. If Kentucky were to go to Knoxville and win Saturday, I think that would be just as painful for Tennessee fans. To have beaten Alabama, to be looking at a potential national playoff bid and lose it, and be out of the playoffs because you lost to Kentucky, I'm not sure they could ever get over that, which is why it would make me very, very happy.
Well, that was Matt Jones on with Jared Stillman earlier this week. And as I'm sitting next to a Louisville fan, it looks like they still aren't over it. Juni, a word?
Listen, did you even watch that game?
Yes.
You watched that game? I believe it was in 2014. That game, that made me so mad. Because Louisville came out in that game and they were up like 23-8. And they were dominant. It looked like they were going to roll over Kentucky, and they came back and they won, and they were an 8th seed. And that was the year that the Harrison, one of the Harrison twins, I can't remember which one, but he just kept hitting shot after shot after shot to end games that took them to the Final Four. That's I won't get over that game. That game hurt me to my core. That game hurt me to my core because, you know, Louisville had just won the national championship the year before, and the year prior to that, Kentucky had beaten them in the Final Four when they went on to win the national championship in 2012. Yes, I never forgot that game and where I was watching that one. That hurt.
Well, welcome back into the Michelle and Junie show. Junie Riddle, Michelle Knesvick. We got Jared Cassidy back there on the board. And Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio. He can be known as very homerish.
Huge homerish.
Just a little. Lexington. But listen, every media market has some of them. And of course, he had to play that clip to get everybody a little fired up. But I mean, he's right, right? If Kentucky somehow, which is going to be very, very hard for them to be able to do.
But listen to this.
I mean, think about it. In college football, every regular season game matters. So you could match it up to just March Madness in general because, yes, you have to have a good record in the regular season for basketball. But once you get to the tournament, I mean, all of that is wiped away. Whereas college football, every single game matters. And for Tennessee then to lose to this Kentucky team after coming off that huge, incredible win over Alabama, no, their college football playoff dreams aren't done. They still would have an opportunity if they could beat Georgia the following week and be 11-1. They would then be the East. They would go to the East in the SEC tournament and still potentially have a chance at going to the college football playoff.
It's still not the same, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Jared, is it the same? I want to hear
it's,
from Jared.
It's not the same, and I'm gonna sit here and tell you why. Listen, Louisville and Kentucky played earlier that year, and Kentucky, I believe, won in the regular season. Now they slipped when they went into SEC play, and that's why they were an 8 seed. But they weren't like a huge underdog. If Kentucky beats Tennessee today, which is not, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I mean, they're the 19th ranked team in the country. The two games that they lost, if you watch them. I mean, college basketball, it's a lot easier to see a team that is far worse win.
You shouldn't have done that. You should not have played that clip because you just got me so fired up. Listen, you know, I was considering taking Kentucky on the points, but you done did it in.
Okay, so impartial party here. So I think it's a little different because in the fact that Kentucky Louisville to me is a bigger rivalry than Kentucky Tennessee in any sports.
That's facts.
Just look at their basketball programs. Okay, take on football programs in the recent like 10 years. It's been a battle between both teams. But basketball is the reason that those two cities, schools, states battle each other. Whereas the Kentucky Tennessee, yeah, it's a big matchup. It's a big rivalry. We're border states. Everything's going to be big about that. But too much on the line. I'm with Junie and Stillman. I remember watching that because my dad's a Cards fan. So yeah, that was a huge upset and just a bad ending to a great game.
And I get what you guys are saying, you know, a huge upset. But at the end of the day, I mean, these are still two very strong programs. I know March Madness and the way that game was played. And
Kentucky's a strong program
in football?
No, they're not.
Of recent years, yes.
Mark Stoops, listen.
They're a decent program. They're not
a strong program.
Actually, Michelle and I liked the same tweet yesterday that somebody said within the last decades from 2012, I believe, is what it was. Yeah, Kentucky's actually ahead of Tennessee as far as wins, but Tennessee is four wins.
You can play the transitive property in football all day long in college football, and that is not what it is about. What it's about is – and listen, I don't care if people – I don't think this is a homer take. And Tennessee, by far, traditionally has a head and tail way above Kentucky as far as tradition. But in reality, they have struggled the last 10 years with turnover at coach. And, I mean, you look at 6-7 years ago, Kentucky was in the same boat as Vanderbilt. They had 2-win seasons. And now for Mark Stoops to have 10-win seasons, the fact that they are even in the same conversation and looked at in the same conversation as Tennessee is pretty remarkable for this Kentucky program that has been virtually irrelevant forever, except for in these last 5 years, I would say.
I don't know. It started with Joker Phillips. He was kind of on the right path for a while, and then it started to fall apart. But yeah, I think as a whole, if you take the last 10 years, yeah, Kentucky, as far as win percentages, yes, I would say Tennessee has had some better teams. But Butch Jones, like, he had Alvin Kamara. He had so many people sitting on the bench, and he just didn't know what to do with them. He's a terrible coach. But, I mean, you take out that, then it could be a different ball game. But, yeah, over the 10 years, I mean, Mark Stoops has changed Kentucky football program. They are not what they used to. They're not in the same, I guess we could say, bottom tier of the SEC football.
And that's fine. And that's fine. You can say they're good, they're solid. All right, that's what getting a 10-win season here and there is. Saying they're a strong football program, Kentucky, get out of here with that. They're
okay,
not.
Okay, you're pulling the Homer Louisville take right now, because listen, if this was a 12-team college football playoff right now, Kentucky would have a chance of being in that playoff. And
not after the loss they're going to take today.
Well, listen. The game hasn't happened yet, so we can't, you know, predict things like that. I don't think that they'll be able to pull off the win, but I would say you would put them. I mean, they could easily be a 12-team playoff team. Wake Forest could be a 12-team playoff team, and no, you don't say they're great programs, but listen,
Kentucky
every
has
other
yet to
year,
play Tennessee and Georgia. They are going to lose both of those games, and they will not be in the top 12. They will not be in that conversation. You drop a game to South Carolina, you lose to Ole Miss, and we've seen Ole Miss get absolutely dominated by LSU. Listen, Kentucky might not even be a top 5 SEC team this year. Bottom line, they've lost Ole Miss. They've lost Ole Miss. LSU has better wins. Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia are potentially all better than Kentucky. This season, they were supposed to be that third team on paper that a lot of people picked. It's been a disappointing season for the Cats. They're not going to be top 12. They're not a strong program, and they're not beating Tennessee today.
Never said they were a top 12 program, and we love the transitive property in college football, and that's what Junie is playing today. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show. On the other side, we are going to give you all of our picks for this college football slate today and some NFL ones coming up tomorrow. You can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Weigh in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On the other side, we're making picks. You know what time it is. Time to make some money. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show this morning. But before we get to our picks, if you want to call or text in your picks, 615-737-1025. And now we go to our phone live, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we welcome in Adam. Adam, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. How are we doing this Saturday morning?
I'm good. I was a lot better before I saw your Happy Catter Day tweet. That was disgusting. Man, I'm trying to, like, start my day off right before I drive to Knoxville and I see Happy Catter Day. That's just terrible.
Listen.
Dude, I didn't see you at Green Hill last night. We had a pretty good game on our hands.
It was a great game, Adam, and I think it was thrilling to the very end. Wish Green Hill would have got one more opportunity, but that's not how it goes all the time.
Well, Adam, I know which game you are calling in for today. If you want to give us your thoughts on the Tennessee-Kentucky game tonight in Neyland Stadium, we will both be present there. What are your thoughts? Do you think that Tennessee will be able to cover the 11.5-point spread?
I didn't know that it dropped to 11.5, and so now I'm absolutely certain they cover 11.5, and here's why. It's strength on strength with Tennessee's defense stopping the run, and that's what Kentucky's offense does well. Kentucky is top 5 in sacks given up this season, and Byron Young leads the SEC in quarterback pressures. So I see a lot of blitzes, kind of the way that Tennessee played against Pitt, and they're going to force Will Levis to make mistakes, and I definitely think they cover that 11.5.
Well, Adam, we will just have to see. I will see you in Neyland Stadium tonight. Safe drive to Knoxville, and may the best team win.
Absolutely, you too.
That was Adam from Murfreesboro. Fun fact, Adam is one of my students at MTSU, a rising star, and a very, very big Vols fans. Well, guys, we got to make our picks very, very quick today, and our picks are presented by Superbook Sports. I just need to give a shout-out to Superbook Sports because they are sending me to the game tonight in Neyland Stadium. It is my first ever time in Neyland Stadium, and I am just so excited to experience the environment. I've heard nothing but good things, so shout-out Superbook Sports. We're going to have a lot of fun, and listen, even if the Cats don't win, I'm just really excited to experience this entire environment. So with that being said, listen, I got Kentucky plus the 11.5. I think they're going to be able to make it a close, defensive, gritty game like they always do. Junie?
Vols.
Vols, are you locking it down?
It's my guarantee. Oh. It's my guarantee. They're going to blow them out.
Boom.
Okay, Jared?
Vols all day.
Vols all day. Okay, guys, that was easy. Okay, switching to another SEC matchup, we got Ole Miss versus Texas A&M. Ole Miss, the line has moved up a little bit. Ole Miss is favored by 2.5 points over Texas A&M. What are you thinking, Junie?
Give me the Rebels. I think they bounce back after their loss to LSU. It was pretty embarrassing, so I think they bounce back big.
Yep, I'll take the Rebs too.
Okay, well, that is going to be a sweep for that one. I think Ole Miss easily covers the 2.5. Texas A&M under Jimbo Fisher has just been a very disappointing year after he said that, oh, we got the best recruiting class in the books, and him and Saban had a little bit of a tussle at the beginning of the season. Okay, next up for the SEC, guys, we got Arkansas -3.5 over Auburn today. This one I think is going to be a very interesting matchup because I do think that Arkansas is actually one of the underrated teams in the SEC right now. Junie, we'll start with you for this one.
It's tricky because Auburn has burned me in the past, but something's just telling me to go War Eagle today. I feel like they get a win in front of their home fans, and I think Arkansas doesn't play as well on the road. Give me the Auburn Tigers.
Ooh, I will go Razorbacks. I will change this one up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be with Jared on this one. I think that Arkansas will be able to cover the 3.5. I think they win maybe by a touchdown. But Brian Harsin, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, and I know a lot of people are not happy with Brian Harsin and how he's performed as the coach of Auburn this year and even at the end of last year. So he is definitely on the hot seat if you're Auburn, and if you're him, his back is definitely against the wall. So I definitely could see Auburn winning, but I feel more confident in Arkansas right now. Okay, moving on to a big ACC matchup. Syracuse fell to Clemson last week, which was a huge game as far as looking at the college football playoff. Clemson is still undefeated, and if they go undefeated in the ACC, you can pretty much guarantee that they will be in the college football playoff. So Syracuse versus Notre Dame. This game is in Syracuse, New York. It is in the Carrier Dome. Syracuse -1.5 over Notre Dame.
That's not what I'm seeing on Superbook. I'm seeing Syracuse +1 currently right now.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm seeing on the website right now.
And okay, we could be giving you some real-time sports lines changing.
Yeah, because, listen, and if that's the case, give me Cuse. And regardless if Cuse is a 1.5-point favorite, 1-point dog, it doesn't matter. I'm taking the Cuse. They're a better team. Notre Dame is not that good playing with their backup quarterback. Yeah, give me the Orange. They have one of their best teams that they've had in recent memory this year.
Well, I will piggyback off you, Junie, and we did see the line just change in real time. It was -1.5 just a minute ago. Now Syracuse is +1. At home, I think that's easy. I think you take the Cuse. We have seen a lot of Notre Dame's weaknesses so far this year. Jared?
I will take the Cuse.
Ooh, okay. Clean sweep.
Big on them this year.
For my other alma mater. Thanks, yeah, guys.
Real okay. Big.
Okay, we will close out today with our NFL picks. Junie, we've got your Pittsburgh Steelers. You will be at the game in Philadelphia tomorrow. Pittsburgh Steelers are +10.5. Are you taking the Eagles, or do you think that your Steelers can make it a close game?
I'm taking the Eagles. Steelers haven't scored a touchdown in Philadelphia, like I've said, in a very long time. They haven't won in Philadelphia since 1965, like I mentioned earlier. Flat out, if T.J. Watt doesn't play in this game, it's speculated he might get some reps. The Steelers' pass rush cannot get home, and that's the way that you slow down Jalen Hurts. Give me the Eagles +10.5.
Okay, well, listen, I'm taking Pittsburgh +10.5. I think this game is separated by about a touchdown. I do think the Eagles win and continue their undefeated stretch. But listen, this Pittsburgh Steelers defense is very opportunistic, and I think they can make some big plays today. Jared?
Yeah, I'll go with the Eagles.
You go with the Eagles -10.5. And lastly, Tennessee Titans, Houston Texans. Tennessee is favored by 3 points. That one's easy for me. I think that they win by at least 3 points. So give me the Titans -3. Lock that one down. Even if Ryan Tannehill doesn't play, I think Malik Willis will be able to just pass it off to Derrick Henry, and I think Derrick Henry's going to have a huge game. So give me Tennessee -3.
If Malik Willis plays, give me the Texans. But if I really do think this is going to be a 3-point game, my score prediction is 23-20 Titans. But if I'm going to have to take one, I'm going to take Titans with the points. So give me the Titans.
Jared?
Yeah, I will take the Titans, and let's see that big dog eat.
Oh, we love it. Okay. Let's go. Listen, hopefully on Monday, Jonathan Hutton and Eddie George will be talking about Derrick Henry either tying or breaking the touchdown record for the Tennessee Titans. That is all we have for you on this Saturday morning on the Michelle and Junie Show. Pray for me in Neyland Stadium tonight, and hopefully it's going to be a great one. We will see you same time, same place next Saturday. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.